No, the blessed person meditates. He literally chews on the law of God, turns it over and over and over in his mind, rehearses it, is asking, how do I live in light of this? How do I apply it? And because he avoids the wicked like he does, and because he delights in God's word and pursues God's word as he does, verse 3 says that he prospers. He's like a tree planted by streams of water. Notice it's not stream, but it's plural. Streams of water. Very well-nourished tree. And it is not wild. It's not a tree that's just willy-nilly put out there, but it's purposely planted where it is planted. And I think that the roots of this tree, as we are being given to us in this psalm, the roots of this tree is in the law of God. And its fruit, its spiritual fruit, is in its season. Meaning that when it's time to bear fruit, it bears fruit. For the believer, for the Christian, that's most often in times of trial, in times of sorrow, in times of suffering. Yielding its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. There is continued growth, continued health. And the bottom line is that in all that he does, he prospers. Not always in man's eyes, but in God's eyes, yes. By God's accounts, in God's economy, the blessed man, the righteous man who delights in the law of the Lord, prospers. Spurgeon again, as there is a curse wrapped up in the wicked man's mercies, so there is a blessing concealed in the righteous man's crosses, losses, and sorrows. So that's the righteous man. That's what we want to pursue. That's what we want to be like. We want to be blessed like that. But we turn to the wicked man in verses 5 and 6, 4, 5, and 6. Verse 4, the wicked are not so. The wicked do not prosper. The wicked are not fruitful. The wicked are not planted in a good spot. The wicked do not delight in the law of God. Rather, they are like chaff that the wind drives away. You know the picture of the farmer bringing in the crop and taking it in the shovel or in the pitchfork and shaking it and throwing it up in the air, and the wind blowing the useless chaff away. It's pointless, doesn't have a purpose, doesn't matter. It's gone. That's what the wicked's life is. Not prospering, but useless. Not prospering, but purposeless. Worthless, without substance. But not only are the wicked useless, they're also condemned. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment. Just to make it very clear, they will fall on judgment day. Notice, by the way, that judgment's already known about this early in the Bible. The wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The picture here is all of humanity standing before God, and those who are declared righteous being allowed to continue to stand, and those who are wicked falling away. All will be found out. You cannot hide among the godly. And how will they be found out? Well, verse 6, for the Lord Yahweh, notice capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that's God's covenantal name, Yahweh, being used there. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. This knowledge is an intimate knowledge. It's not just factual knowledge, but rather experiential knowledge. God is involved in the way of the righteous. Notice up in verse 1 that the blessed man does not stand in the way of sinners. And here, verse 6, the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. That's our third word for with the wicked. They're useless, they're condemned, and they're perishing. They're going away. Missionary William Carey once said to his son, never step an inch out of the path of righteousness and truth to curry favor or to avoid disgrace. The way of the righteous is always good. The way of the righteous is always blessed in God's economy. We may not see it always in man's economy, but when someone, for instance, suffers well, they're on the blessed path. When someone experiences trials and is still standing in the midst of them, they're on the blessed path. So in summary, the blessed and the wicked are contrasted here. Two different associations. The wicked associate themselves with other wickeds, with sinners, with scoffers. And the blessed person is associated with the Lord. Two different views of the law, of God's word. The wicked scoff at it, but the blessed delight in it. Two different life results. The wicked fall on judgment day, but the righteous not only stand on judgment day, but they live lives that matter. They prosper. They're useful for the Lord. And two different relationships with God. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. The Lord is with the righteous. But the way of the wicked will perish because they're going against God. They're not living his way. And therefore, it will not end well for them. And so, in a moment here, Luke is going to have us walk through this psalm in prayer. And I think we should just do that. I don't even need to pray. Luke, why don't you come on up and take us through this.
All right. Well, thank you, Brian. Appreciate that. As Brian said, there's a clear contrast here in this passage. And so we're going to pray. I think we'll just match those two contrasts up. And we will thank God for the blessings of the righteous, and we'll also thank God for his justice and judgments on the wicked, too. And so let's start with verses 1 and verses 6. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers." Let's do 1 and 6. So, God blesses the righteous, and he leads them in the way of blessing as we follow him. The wicked, on the other hand, perish. God's way is the way of life, and the way of the wicked is the way of death. And so, as we take a moment here, let's pray and thank God for the fact that he provides blessings for the righteous, that he provides those blessings in his way, and as we pursue him, we find life. And let's also remember in our prayers that and thank God that he has spared us from the wicked way, which is the way of death. So let's pray. Let's go to prayer right now, and then I'll close us on that.
Thank you.
God, we thank you for the great blessings of following you and of seeking you. We thank you that you have promised not simply life, but life abundantly as we seek your face. And God, we thank you for us here who have been spared from the way of death and the way of perishing and through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, which was shed for us. And we thank you for that, God. We thank you for giving us so many blessings in your word, the truth of your word, and in its working in our lives as the Spirit works in our hearts. God, we just pray that we would recognize and realize these blessings and be thankful for them. Amen. The second is a delight. That the righteous man delights in God's word. It's interesting here in verse 5 that the wicked faces judgment. So the word of God to the wicked is judgment. The word of God to the righteous is a delight. And what an incredible truth that is for us that have experienced that over our walk with Christ. So we should, first of all, thank God for his word and for the delight that that is and the blessing that that is for us. We should also thank God for his justice, that the wicked will be judged and that no evil goes unaccounted for. Let's pray.
Yeah. grateful for the fact that the truth is when we will walk in righteousness and avoid evil, that we will be blessed. It's sad to recognize that those who will not walk in righteousness will face the judgment and perish. So, Father, help us to recognize that we need to be walking in righteousness, separated from the ungodly, and maybe they will see the way of righteousness and turn to you and confess sin and live a life according to your written word that you've given to us. So thank you for this revelation of how the difference between godly and ungodly.
Dear Heavenly Father, I do want to thank you that we can be in fellowship with you through your Holy Spirit, that we can delight in your law, that you give us much joy in delighting in your law, that you allow us to meditate on it, chew on it, day and night. And we just pray that you give us the compassion for the wicked, for their salvation, that you give us a way to reach the wicked. This we pray in Jesus' name.
Dear God, we thank you so much that your word is not a thing of terror and of judgment to the righteous, that because of the work of Jesus Christ, that we can, that we do not need to stand in fear and trembling and terror of your word, but Father, we can find delight in it. And Father, to the extent that through our years of following you, we plumb the depth of your scriptures, we know that it is a gift without limit or end. It continually blesses us, and those blessings are new every morning, and we're thankful for that, God. We thank you that your word does not simply inform the Christian life, but it sustains it, that we can meditate on your word continually. We can treasure it in our hearts and continue to draw from it the strength and the provision for our daily life, no matter what storms we may find ourselves in. God, we thank you for these things. Amen. And the last thing we see here is in verses 3 and 4. And I'll read them again. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and all he does, he prospers. And that's the word that Brian mentioned. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. And the word that he used there was useless. One of the wonderful treasures of the Christian life is that our life is not useless. It is not worthless. It is for the glory of God, and God does something magnificent with it. What a reason to go to prayer in thanksgiving. Amen. Let's pray again.
Desires to chase after sin and pointless, useless things that have no impact on eternity except to contribute to our judgment. Father, we are thankful that in Christ, every single one of us live lives of meaning, whether they're short or long. God, that you redeem them, not only so that we can be saved, but also so that we can be used for your purposes. So thank you, God, that our lives have meaning because of your grace.
We thank you, God, that you are not simply a God who saves, but you are a God who redeems, who sanctifies for your uses and for your glory. And God, I pray that we would be a people in whom, as we pursue you and as we seek you with all of our hearts, there is much fruit that comes not from us but from you, that you would bear much fruit in our lives, that this church would be the hands and feet of Jesus, that would be sanctified for your purposes and for your missions and for your glory. God, we thank you for the incredible honor and Father, the incredible blessing of being a part of your purposes and a part of your plans. And God, we know that it is not by our strength or our abilities that fruit comes from our lives, but it is by the work of your Spirit in our lives. And we're so thankful for that. We're thankful that you include us in the purpose of the gospel and in preaching the gospel in Rothbury. And we thank you so much for this great gift. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, as Brian mentioned before, we're going to also spend some time in prayer tonight because, as you know, our fall ministries are starting. We've got three ministries in particular, and I put some prayer requests down on a sheet. And I wonder if maybe we can get into small, maybe three or four. Yeah, that'd be great. Three or four person groups, and we can pray through those lists, commit those ministries to prayer. And those are all gospel ministries. So there are a lot of people who will be coming through this place hearing the gospel for the first time this fall. And so we want to keep those ministries in our prayer.